What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's Brian Mazurowski. It's Joe Beamer on WBEN. Good morning to everybody out there. Joe, I finally did it. I secured my ticket to the big show in Toronto tomorrow night. I'm going.
I know you're excited. Can't wait to see the pictures and hear about the madness surrounding the show.
The bracelets. I got it all.
And you've been waiting 4 years for this big show.
That's right. I have been. Yeah. No, I'm not going to see Taylor Swift. I'm going to see Sturgill Simpson in Toronto. But I was not aware, like in my planning, that Taylor Swift was there. So I hope it's not like some big traffic thing that's going on. But anyway, I got this. Ticket. I was supposed to see him 4 years ago. COVID shut everything down in Toronto. Like, the day that everything closed was the day I was supposed to go and see him. Never happened. Now I'm getting my make good tomorrow. I finally was able to go in. They released more tickets today. Boom. Get it. I'm a big wait till the last minute guy.
Yeah. I remember that's how we got on the floor for Metallica.
Yeah.
Was waiting. We had tickets in the 100 level, and you were able to get some tickets on the floor the day of.
Do you wish we sat in the 100s?
No. I loved being on the floor for that show.
I mean, it was cool to be on the floor for Metallica. I feel like it would have been louder in the 100s.
Maybe. But it was a really cool experience.
I wouldn't take it back.
No.
I wouldn't take it back.
Right up there. I got to move around during the show. Didn't have to sit.
It was very cool. But I wanted to go to the show. I was going back and forth. Would I or wouldn't I go? And then I heard some of his shows. They've been releasing them online on one of these streaming services, like all throughout the tour. The next day, next morning, you can go on. The show from last night is up there in its entirety, ready for you to listen to off the soundboard. Awesome. And I've been listening, and they're just absolutely phenomenal. Some of the best stuff I've ever heard. So I'm like, all right, now I got to go. That makes my decision for me.
Right. The video sold the ticket. Sometimes it would do the opposite.
Yeah, but now I'm kind of like wondering for you. Now, it's not the same set every night. Like, it's not the same show every night. But, like, I have a general idea of what I'm expecting going into tomorrow night. Like, generally, what songs he's been playing. Like, there won't be a ton of surprise, like, true surprise. You know, who knows what might happen. But there probably won't be, like, a true surprise because I've heard a bunch of the shows from this tour already. Do you like knowing before you go to a concert? Do you like knowing? Are you the type of person who's looking at set lists, like, you know what to expect, you want to know what you're going to hear, or do you like being completely surprised?
Well, as you know, Brian, I do find the set lists, right? I did before we went to go see Kiss. I will find the set list. But it's like when you go and you get a Big Mac, you're excited at the time, and then you're finished and you go, I wish I didn't know. I kind of do miss having the suspense of going to a concert and, oh my gosh, what's up next? So it does kind of ruin it for me, but I'm just the kind of person, I guess, is that a maturity issue? I don't know. But I will go seek it out, and then I'll be mad at myself that I did halfway through the show.
I love being surprised. I love being surprised. I love walking into things and truly not knowing what you're going to expect at all. And it's because it's kind of rare that that can happen, right?
Yeah.
Like, you go see most people, you generally know what you're going to get. I went to see down in Rochester, Ryan Adams, a little over a year ago. And I didn't really know what to expect. You know, I knew what some of the songs would be playing. I knew the band that he was playing with. So you kind of had an idea, like, what era of his music you were going to hear from. He came out. The show was like 2.5 hours, 7 songs.
Wow.
I mean, just turned everything into this like 40-minute ripper of a thing. Half the people hated it. Some people left.
That sounds like a Grateful Dead thing.
Yeah. It was like, you could tell he was heavily inspired by the Dead that night.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you go to see him and he's just there with an acoustic guitar, you know, playing country songs.
Nice.
You truly didn't know what to expect. I was blown away, like had no idea.
You enjoyed it.
I loved every minute of it.
You
I was like,
one of these people
wow.
Walking out.
No. The people next to me did.
Oh,
I was in the first row.
They thought it was Brian Adams.
Yeah. Well, they asked me before, like, who? What do you know about this guy? Who is he? So, like, they must have had, like, tickets to every show at that theater,
yeah.
And they were not enjoying it. So I was left literally by myself. I had the aisle on one side and two empty seats on the other
really
in the front
nice.
Row, like, looking right at him.
That's really nice.
I felt naked. He's, like, looking right at me. He's like, and he made a reference to the people who didn't like it next to me. I'm like, I don't know. What am I going to do? But I was absolutely blown away because I didn't know what to expect when you're there. Like, it's fun to get those little surprises.
It's fun when you like it. If it had gone the other way, I always
like something different.
Yeah,
though.
See, yeah. But for the people next to you, that maybe they would have liked a little heads up.
Like, if you were to, and it almost goes, like, without saying. I remember seeing the Dropkick Murphys once, not that long ago, like one of the last times I saw them, and... Their main singer has not been on tour with them for a couple of years now, and their other took a song off because he's not used to doing the whole show.
Right.
And the whole band did Rock and Roll Singer by AC/DC off their, I think that's off their first album. Love that song. But if you ever told me, like, hey, do you want to see just like the band play an AC/DC song in the middle of the set, I would have told you, like, no. Like, no, why would I want that? Like, I paid to see the band.
Yeah.
But they did it, and it was awesome, and I'm glad, like, it was a cool little surprise that they put in there.
It sounded great, didn't look great on paper.
No.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, in the moment, if I saw that before, I would have been like, ugh.
Yeah.
What, we got this in the middle of a bathroom break? You know, what are we going to do here? But I loved it. Yeah. I loved seeing those surprises.
Yeah, I like being surprised at a show. Like I said, I wish I didn't, for some reason, I just give in and look at the set list, which I don't know why. Like, I'm at the concert. I'm gonna see it. You know what I mean? But like I said, it's like getting a Big Mac.
And looking
sounds great.
At the set list too, I feel can backfire on you. Because it's not necessarily going to be the same night to night.
No.
And if you could see something, you know, being played like three nights and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to... see them play, you know, whatever it is,
yeah,
and then they don't play it, and then you're disappointed in it. It's kind of on you. Like,
yeah,
you exactly. Shouldn't have been expecting anything.
Exactly. Like Luke Combs. Luke Combs never played the same on the stadium tour that he never did the same night twice. That's why people went twice in Buffalo. They got the back-to-back pass. Like, he never did the same show twice.
Somebody else said the drone show at Metallica was awesome. I was on the... Oh, that's right. I do remember the drones at the arena.
Yeah.
They were flying around. I was trying to... I was like, was that the stadium show? But no. All right. I remember the drones now. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was the first time I've ever seen anything like that.
That was really cool.
Now they do like drone fireworks. You ever see that?
I have not seen the drone fireworks.
They mimic like what a firework looks like with drones.
It's
amazing what they can do.
I did notice the CBS sports drone when the plane that continuously was circling the stadium the entire game... because I guess they couldn't get a blimp up there. So they had a plane that was just circling the stadium. The plane disappeared right before halftime. What pops up? A drone. I go, oh, that must be replacing. Doesn't get quite the view of the plane, but while the plane goes to the airport and refuels,
yeah,
there's the drone.
It's a little cheaper.
You would think
so,
right?
I would think to run the drone than the plane.
But I'll say this. Fox, for their college games, they've got to learn. They've replaced in a lot of stadiums, Brian, the camera that we know and love, the Skycam.
Mm-hmm.
In Colorado over the weekend, that was just a drone. There was no Skycam. Yeah. But it was getting in the way of the actual footage of the play.
Oh, you could see the drone on TV?
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's a little... The game sucked. But early on, that was a little distracting.
I would be distracted if I was the quarterback. I would try and throw the ball at the drone.
Yeah, get this out of the way.
Yeah, I would be doing that. 803-0930, you can join us here on WBEN. 803-0930 on our text board or give us a call. Somebody said, I love when you go and they pull something off the B-side you don't normally hear. That's a cool tune and they crank it. I love that too. You know, something you don't necessarily expect.
Especially a B-side from, you know, something that came out 20, 25 years ago that was never a big hit, right? So I love that. Like a song you haven't heard live. If you did, it was 25 years ago when the album came out. That's great.
The first time I saw Jack White at Art Park, you know, a number of years ago now, he didn't play Seven Nation Army. I remember people like, and I loved that he didn't play it. I love that he didn't play. You know, it's by far his biggest song ever. I mean, it's become like folk music, right? Like they're humming it in the stadium. Like it's everywhere. You can't leave without. He didn't play it, and I remember hearing people go outside and walking out saying like, "Oh, I can't believe he didn't play." And I think it's awesome that you could have such an awesome show and not even play your biggest song.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like you're flexing. Then when I saw him play with his one band, the Raking Tours, they had that big hit, Steady As She Goes. You remember that song?
Yeah.
It was all over radio.
Steady As She Goes.
Like 2008, 7, 8, something like that. They didn't play it.
Oh, that's funny.
It was awesome.
Yeah. they're probably sick of it.
Yeah, but like they played one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life without playing their biggest hit. I love when a band can do that.
Yeah.
Like it's a big flex. I love to see it. And somebody else said they were at that Ryan Adams show. One of a kind experience, blown away by the performance. I would absolutely agree. You can let us know on that. Are you a knower beforehand? Do you like to figure things out? Know what you're going to see, or do you prefer to be surprised when you head off to the show? 803-0930.
Every time you bring up Jack White, I have to bring up the time that he was at a baseball game, left to do a show. The game goes into 14 innings. He comes back for the end of the baseball game.
He's a huge baseball fan.
I love that.
He's a bigger baseball fan than you.
I love it. I love it. It makes me like him even more.
He is like crazy. He owns a bat company.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That makes like wooden bats
for pros.
I mean, you could use them,
yeah.
But I think they're more like commemorative, like people, you know.
And he always has awesome seats because he's Jack White.
Yeah.
He's always like three rows up.
You want me to do the anthem? All right, give me some good seats and sure, whatever. I'll do whatever you want. Let's go. Let's do it. 803-0930 for that. And then also this, Joe. Now, I was looking for the quote because I thought I saw this quote, but the Heritage Point project at Canalside, which has kind of been stuck in limbo.
Yes.
The developer, Sinatra, waiting for state aid for the project to move forward. It's kind of looked the same, you know, these big concrete pillars with metal around it and nothing else going on. It's looked that way for, has it been over a year?
I think so.
Since it's looked like that, it's been at least a year, maybe over a year. And now it's kind of reaching a point where a lot of people are just wondering what is going on. They're partially framed with steel and concrete, but I mean, I wouldn't even say half done at this point. Now, the county executive, Mark Poloncarz, in the Buffalo News I thought I saw a quote of him saying that it's embarrassing to look at. More on that in just a moment. But he was also quoted as saying that he doesn't want to see it fail. It's important it moves forward, but we can't just have 100% public investment at that site. And that was the goal with the project, to have the private sector come in and start building on that site. And I would agree with him. It does kind of raise the question, though, Joe, and a lot's been made of this project going on. I don't think this is a question that we can answer, but it's just like a little brainworm, you know, not that type of brainworm, just a little something to put in the back of your head. A lot has been made of the financing problems that not just this project has had, but a lot of projects have run into this year specifically.
Yep.
But I'm wondering if it also maybe says a little bit about the attractiveness or viability of Canalside in terms of what they want to bring there, like this long-term vision of Canalside as a neighborhood. Does it make you think about that a little bit more or any more than you used to? I think a lot of people saw that and said, well, okay, they build it. I can absolutely see that being a very popular spot.
Getting a place near the water.
Does this change that at all?
What, just the interest is not there or the money's not there?
The money not being there, the interest not being there. I mean, this is just one parcel of a lot of other pieces of land there that have not yet been developed.
Right, and I mean, again, you know, downtown, there's only so many people that want to live you know, that are going to move downtown. You've got that. You've got these unfinished projects, Brian. And what did we have in the news yesterday? 500 offices are going to be converted into apartments and lofts. Mm-hmm. Like, eventually, and I hate to be Mr. Negative, because believe me, if I didn't have a kid, I'd live downtown. I love downtown, right?
Oh, and the tower.
Yeah, I but eventually you're gonna have more space than interest. And with these projects stalling, by the time they come up, will the demand still be there?
I think about that a lot. You know, when I was 20, if I had money.
Yeah, that's also a big caveat. Yeah.
If I had the money too at that time too, living in the tower downtown, how amazing would that be? Right by in the middle of everything.
There's a bar in the middle of the tower and in the basement.
Yeah. So I mean, that's just something. I don't think we find an answer to that, but I feel like it's a little brainworm to kind of like, was this plan for Canal Side, the idea that it's going to be a big neighborhood, maybe misguided, maybe it was better as what it was
attraction?
Before. I don't know.
But with those buildings, it just, you know, with all the buildings coming up, I'd love to see progress. I love seeing progress downtown. I love seeing cranes in Orchard Park, right? Mm-hmm. It's great. But you already have buildings downtown that are just sitting there. Something's got to be done with them too. You've got question marks through buildings that are not going to go down. The Main Place Mall is not getting torn down, right? So you have that while these buildings are half finished.
Yeah. Well, I also say it because I love the concerts down there too, but that's just another topic for another day. And I also, now, this might just be, I might have made this up. I thought I had read the quote, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but I thought I had read a quote from the county executive saying it looks embarrassing for Buffalo, for Western New York and the area to have this half-built thing sitting right there. Now, I went looking for that quote again this morning, and I couldn't find it. So maybe I just made it up. I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. But, you know, let's assume that was said by somebody.
Yeah. Fair assumption.
Yeah, it's a fair assumption. What do you think that it's embarrassing? And I kind of, it led me thinking, what actually is the most embarrassing thing in Western New York? Like the thing that if you were leading somebody around town from out of town, you really want to show off the area that you would kind of avoid, or maybe it's tough to avoid, but you see it there and it's like, how do I explain this one? Because I don't think this is one of them. Like, I don't think people are going past Canal Side looking at this stalled project and saying how embarrassing. Because they probably don't know it's stalled.
No, you bring people
from... You're like, hey, construction going on.
Exactly. You bring people from out of town. You go, as I told you, up and coming downtown Buffalo.
Now, if you bring them back like a year later and it looks the same... If they were here last year and they saw the same thing going on, and they're going, this isn't done yet, then it becomes a little bit embarrassing. First time...
You must be mistaken. It was something else. You show them another building. Yeah. That was this. Yeah, that was the courtyard.
Yeah. Jeez. But not like, what is the thing that's an eyesore? I mean, there's another one right around the corner, I think, is much more of an embarrassing eyesore for Buffalo and Western New York. 803-0930, BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN. BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN, Brian Mazurowski.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Hey, Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN. You know, we were talking about what is like the embarrassing thing. The Heritage Point project, that's the big kind of unfinished project that's been sitting right in the middle of Canal Side for a year now, has been brought up as embarrassing to Western New York. And I absolutely get where they're coming from. But, you know, I was thinking about that, like, if you bring someone from out of town, they just see a construction site, something's going on.
Exactly.
You know, if you bring them, back for the second time in 7 months and it looks exactly the same, all right, then it's kind of embarrassing, but on first glance, maybe not so much.
Yeah, if they're a Leafs fan who comes here for the games, they might have caught on, but you know, your annual or every other year visitor, you bring them down there for Thanksgiving. Ah, look at this. I told you. We're working on stuff.
Yeah. Well, what is the more embarrassing thing that you just wouldn't show off in Western New York? 803-0930. Got a number of suggestions on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board we'll get to. Joe, you know mine. It's the burned down cobblestone building right next to the arena that is just come on. And it's more of an eyesore with the, I think the graffiti's somewhat new.
Oh, nice.
Like the graffiti on the sign.
It's helped?
It's really helped turn an eyesore into blight.
Okay.
It's it really elevated it on the scale. That's mine. It's in a prominent part of downtown. A lot of people see it. You walk past it. You just shake your head and go, what the blank is going on here?
And, I mean, that is a great example because it's a place where a lot of people go, right? I was at the arena over the weekend. It's a route that people are used to taking. I would have said for years the pit where the Odd used to be was more of an eyesore than the Odd.
Mm-hmm.
Just my opinion, even though...
Somebody on the text board said that. How about tearing down... How about tearing down a war memorial and still having a hole in the ground there?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm assuming they're talking about the Odd.
Now, it did get those last few years at the top of the stairs. It got, like, really unsightly. But still, you had... The big sign on the side of the odd with Dominic Hasek and the goat head, you know, getting ready to go to the arena. No, you know, because they released the logo. Anyway, so I'd say that was, you know, that pit that sat there forever. I have two that aren't in the most congested areas, Brian, but you see them. There is a building across from Big Ditch. Okay, I always notice this when I go to Big Ditch. It is, I don't think there's been a business in there for 40 years. You've got every window's broken out, right? You've got old AC units hanging out the window. And I don't mean hanging out like they're being used. Like, I don't know how they're still in the window hanging out.
Yeah.
Right? and we're talking about a place that is, you know, more popular. We've got Big Ditch there. You go further down, there's stuff there. There's foot traffic there. Mm-hmm. I'd say that's one. Another one, and this is from 3 years ago when that building just collapsed out of nowhere at the end of the 33.
I feel like that's more than 3 years
ago. I think it was 3 years ago because it collapsed when I
feel like that was like 7 years ago.
I think it was 21. It was the summer of 21. I was hosting a show for my grandmother's kitchen in Narrows, Virginia.
Man, those years really are a blur.
They really are. And Baggerman was doing the reporting from it.
Yeah.
That pit is still there. That to me is an eyesore. Now we have a lot of buildings that, you know, something needs to be done. You got broken windows. I would say this, it doesn't look embarrassing because you can't tell that there's nothing in there. It looks like an operational building. I think the fact that a huge stretch of Main Street, you know, we're trying to bring Main Street back and we're doing a decent job. The fact that Main Place Mall is completely empty and has been for 5 years now, I think that's embarrassing. Now, again, you have to know the history behind it because if you're just a visitor walking by, oh, look, a mall. Like, you don't know unless you try to go in. You have no idea. So I understand that some people might not even notice that's a non-functional building. But those would be my three.
There's a lot of great texts coming into the text board here. Some I agree with, some I want to push back on. We'll start with the one I agree with. Someone saying our shoreline looking in from the lake can be embarrassing. And now I don't know exactly where they're talking about because I think some areas look nice. But if you're taking a boat into like the canal side area, the wall that's there, it's just not a great sight.
Is this the wall they just prepared or repaired?
Now, here's the thing is I have not seen this view in the past. So I don't know if they're – it's not the wall. It's right by the wall that just got repaired. Okay. But I don't know if this was painted over yet, like in addition to that. So it might be different now. But I remember being on a boat and going into canal side and seeing that and just going, this is – some people like – will see buffalo for the first time like on the water and just be like, what the heck is going on here? So I would agree with that. Somebody else said Route 5 through Lackawanna looks the same for the last 30 years. And here's where I'm like half and half. So it depends on what side you're looking at. If you're going south on Route 5 and you're traveling south, you're looking out the driver's side window out to your left, and the big structure that caught on fire years ago, and the buildings around there, I would agree with you, you know, in large part because you have what burned down and then a lot of really old-looking buildings that kind of look abandoned that, doesn't look that good. However, on the other side of Route 5, a whole brand-new business park, like brand-new buildings, I disagree with you there. So, like, half and half, right? Like, on one side, you're right. On the other, like, it's really looking so much improved, like it's almost jaw-dropping over the last 10 years or so.
I'll agree with that. Also, there's parts of Route 5 that look amazing on the water at night, And then there's other parts where the water could look a little better.
And then somebody else, the American side of the fall is embarrassing. Joe, this is where I will 100% disagree.
We've had this discussion.
We've done this a whole bunch of times. We disagree on it. Like, look, I just don't – I think 20 years ago, spot on. But the improvements they've made to the park and everything there – I would never say it's embarrassing. Is it a missed opportunity in other areas of Niagara Falls to capitalize on tourist dollars? Absolutely. Is it embarrassing? No, because I think it looks beautiful. It's exactly what you'd want out of a state park in Niagara Falls. I mean, you have access right to, I mean, literally to Niagara Falls. The landscaping they've done there, it's beautiful. It used to be. Now, there was a point in time where it was like a rickety old wooden fence right there. Like, this is depressing. That doesn't exist anymore. I think they've done a great job on the American side of the falls. I actually prefer it to the, like, carnival, you know, Disney lights or whatever, you know, that they do up on Clifton Hill, which has its own unique charm. I don't necessarily want that on the American side of the falls. We can agree that there's missed opportunities to do something with all the tourists. I don't think it's embarrassing at all. I love the American side of the falls.
Well, and like you said, I think we did two shows on this, and I love having this conversation. I don't mind having the state park, and you're right, Brian. They've done some great things at the American side of the falls. But when you stand, because you can stand at an abandoned building on the American side of the falls, a rundown building, seeing the falls, and then seeing Niagara Falls, Canada. I do think that view, just driving into that Niagara Falls, America, compared to Canada, you got the, you know, and you enter Canada, you've got the big toll booths, welcome to Canada, you see the, and I get it, Clifton Hill's not for everybody, I completely understand. There's also things in Niagara Falls that aren't Clifton Hill. You can go right to the falls in Canada, right? You've got the nice observation deck in Canada, you've got the one in America too, don't get me wrong. I think it would have been nice if America had half the stuff the Canadian side has, because you look there and go, where am I? Why am I not over there?
I guess I just think it's a separate discussion.
Okay, yeah.
Is that fair?
Can I say it this way? I think there are embarrassing parts of Niagara Falls, America, that are too close to the touristy part of the falls.
Sure. Agreed.
Okay. That you don't get on the Canadian side. Now, don't get me wrong. You drive a little deeper into the Canadian side, you've got rundown places as well. Don't get me. I'm not saying that it's all beautiful from Niagara Falls to Toronto, but there are parts right facing the falls that just need a little fixing, a little addition.
The falls park itself, I think, is beautiful.
Yeah, the park
is
great.
If somebody asked me where's the best place to see the falls, I would tell them to go there.
If that's the conversation, I agree with you.
On the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, someone said, how about uplighting the sky? When they put the lights on the Skyway, I think it looks fine. Yeah. I think the Skyway is cool.
Skyway is cool.
I might be alone in that, but I think it's cool that you're driving all the way up there. Yep. I thought when there were concerts at Canal Side and the Skyway's right there, I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Like you just, this humongous highway, right? Like maybe I'm alone. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, when I lived in the South Towns and I would take the Skyway into downtown Buffalo, I thought that was cool as well. Can I say the next one, Brian? This one on the Volkswagen Virtual Party text board. Entering New York from Pennsylvania on the 90, 100%. Now, that's not Buffalo, but I will admit, there's a welcome center on one side. We're going to bill you on this side.
That you just hit, that's the part. It's not, this text says completely desolate. Like, I don't.
Oh,
you know, we're just going to put something there.
They haven't been painted since we were born.
The bridges, yes.
You've got not only do you have a sign that says we will bill you, you currently have a sign, next rest area, 40 miles away, no restroom.
Yeah. And that's a good one. To me, it's all about that sign that you mentioned.
Yeah,
we will bill you. That's it. Like, that might just take the cake. Like, end of discussion right there. We will bill you. You enter New York from Pennsylvania. One of the very first things you see, we will bill you.
And on the other side, you have a welcome center where there are two very nice people at the desk that will help you. Hey, I'm looking to get this. Oh, you take exit such and such. Just nice. There's beautiful bathrooms. There's vending.
We have that. Grand Island.
Yeah, great.
We'll bill you $1. Go see it.
Yeah.
Not over our toll bridge.
Not when you enter the state. I think I think the We Will Bill You would hit a little less if there was a place that you could also stop and get some information. Pennsylvania.
We Will Bill You would hit less if they washed your car on the 90, like as you're driving through.
Wouldn't it be funny to just drive through a car wash?
That would be great.
But I always say this on my drives down to Tech. You go to Pennsylvania. You go to West Virginia. What does every state entrance have? A welcome center. What does New York not have? A welcome center. I think talk about missed opportunities. That's just getting off on the right foot with someone coming into your state.
I've stopped at that Welcome Center before. If you have kids, you might be stopping at the Welcome Center. The Pennsylvania one?
Yeah.
Well, I have
an overactive bladder. I stop there all the time. That's how I know about the two very nice people at the front desk.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody work there.
So, it depends what time. I think they leave at like 6 or 7. But if you walk in to the right, there's glass doors when it's closed, but it's got the pamphlets, it's got the history of Erie, and it's got two very nice people at the customer service desk.
Somebody's saying the American side bad at night, no comparison to the Canadian side. Again, I've walked through the American side at night too.
No, when I was in college, I would park at the American side and walk to Canada.
The only thing that I would say bad at night would be all the bugs that get attracted to the lights. You can't do anything about that.
That's true.
What are you going to do?
Someone also mentioned, how about abandoned marine land in Canada? You and I talked about this off the air. Now, that's a huge waste of space in Niagara Falls, Canada right now. I will agree. And they still have the big sign, marine land this way.
What are you going to do with that?
Well, I mean, they can't bring many of the animals back because they've been told they can't.
Yeah.
So.
Banned.
Yeah.
But, that's a tough... when a theme park goes down like that,
yeah,
it really is like a, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? You've got all this space and nothing for it.
Unless you are reusing it as a theme park, which a lot of times seems unlikely. There's a reason why it closed in the first place.
I mean, right now it has a roller coaster and that thing that drops you from the top. I mean, they would have to go full amusement park and that would take forever.
I remember that from the commercials.
I actually, all the years I've lived here, all the times I sang the commercial, I have actually never been to Marineland.
Never been?
No.
Was there once as a... Now, maybe I'm misremembering this, but I... Could you feed deer at Marineland? Well, I'm asking somebody who's never been.
They did have deer at Marineland, because I read that...
Scarred for life as a child. Like, holding out the deer food and just... Seeing all the deer coming right at you to try and get the food out of your hand.
Yeah.
Didn't want any part of marine land after that.
I understand.
Wasn't even the marine life that got me. It was the deer.
It was the deer. At Marineland.
At Marineland.
I know they had bears too. Because the bears got confiscated by the Canadian government.
I don't think you could feed the bears the same way.
No, that's smart.
They didn't have bear food. You just held out in your hand.
Speaking of deer, I don't want to go too far off the highway here, but speaking of deer, a rifle season started Saturday, Brian, and I woke up to the sound of pew, pew. Very people...
Did you report it in the neighborhood app?
No, I didn't, because I knew what they were doing. But hopefully for all the hunters out there, you had a good day of good first day of rifle season.
Yeah, hopefully the deer aren't too worse than they have been.
No, hopefully they're less.
You get scared off. You see a lot more of them running around the roads at this time of year, too. Am I alone thinking there's an exploding population? I see more than ever, I feel.
Well, that's why we should expand rifle season.
Okay.
You can hunt in Clarence. Come, believe me, I saw a family cross the street this morning.
Yeah.
And I love venison, so if you got any extra laying around,
drop it off at Joe's house.
Yeah, send it to Joe. I love that.
It's not bad. All right. Well, we'll both be back here tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm looking at. I'm sorry. I'm distracted here because I've got a. I was going to save it for tomorrow, but let's go.
The bidding for Monet's Nymphia started at $40 million during Sotheby's Autumn Art Sale in New York City. Executive Vice President and Chairman of Sotheby's, Oliver Barker.
Its scale, coloration, dating, and freshness to market set it apart as one of the most important works from Monet's Water Lily series to be offered at auction this century.
17 minutes later, the painting was sold.
First time at $59 million. Second time at 59, and third and final time, the hammer is coming down.
The winning bidder wasn't identified. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
You know how I love the auction stuff. This is Monet's Water Lilies, Joe, which
Yes.
We all know.
Yeah.
It's like one of the few things you learn in art class.
Yes.
That sticks with you for whatever reason. Claude Monet painted water lilies.
Yes, he did.
You take me through an art gallery, point me to the Monet water. Oh, you don't have a Monet water? Well, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
The total ends up being $65.6 million that this person pays after fees and everything like that. $65.6 million for the painting. Aren't there just some worlds you will just never wrap your head around?
Yeah.
Pieces of art could be worth that much money.
That is more than the outfielder the Mets traded for yesterday's getting guaranteed the next two seasons.
Okay, on second thought, maybe this was a low bid for the art.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the painting than the outfielder.
No. There's enthusiasts, and this is the actual painting, right? I mean, this is his brush touch, canvas. I mean, for people, you can't beat it. So, good for the unidentified winner.
$65 million.
What would be, if you were rich, like say you had millions and millions, what would be like your hobby that you would waste money on stuff?
I don't even know.
No?
I would definitely waste money on, like, I'm the type of person, if you had the unlimited funds,
yeah,
I would be buying this kind of stuff. Not art necessarily, but like, you know, like artifacts, pieces of history, all that kind of weird stuff.
Baseball cards. I watch people rip baseball cards every day on YouTube. I would be buying these $4,000 packs.
Oh, I was going to say, like, if you said that, I could see myself buying the packs of cards, not the card that's worth a ton of money.
No, I want to find it. Like,
yeah.
That's the
Thrill of it.
I want to find the Paul Skeens one of one that everyone's looking for right now.
Yeah. I was thinking of you. We were talking about that the other day when you weren't here in the morning. It's like you would take the Pirates giving you the tickets.
Yeah, I would ask if I could trade that for the Mets. Can I trade the deal with the Mets? But yes, of course.
You got David coming up after the news, and we'll both be back here tomorrow. BMS and Beamer on WBEN.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.